Welcome back, welcome back. Come on back to our part two of four in marketing as a story. And I know that was a short break. I know that's a short break, but we have a longer lunch break coming up. And again, just so much I want to share with you. Think of it, what we've already done, isn't that world changing for your company? If you're really hearing this, this changes everything. Like how we see it, the energy we have, what we think we're even doing in our companies, how we're spending our time. This shifts everything. If we're actually hearing what's being said here, the confidence we have, because we know that marketing is not about what other people know, and also the ethical, where the ethical imperative lies, that it's actually when we're not marketing that we're harming. That's a strange thought because it's not how people think of it out there, but it's really true. I mean, it's the story that's coming to mind is it's biblical even. You know, I was raised Catholic, so I was raised listening to all these, you know, stories. And the Good Samaritan, the reason the Good Samaritan, you know, was so good because there was somebody who needed help in the road and the Samaritan stopped and helped them, right? You know, it's in many spiritual traditions. It's in the most enlightened entrepreneur circles of people who are actually working to help people. It's like, what if we could actually help people with what we've got? You know, it's such a no-brainer, but we don't hear it because of all that stuff and noise and stories out there. So huge shift just in listening to that shift in the story about marketing from this morning. Yeah, thank you, Dawn. Go ahead.
Again, I just have this story. It's just such a perfect example, I think, as a friend of mine, Mary, one of the most heart-centered people I know, is an attorney. And she was helping all of her friends. She's a contract lawyer, so we would go to her with all of our questions until she realized that she needed to start charging us because she was spending so much time. And it was a lot of time, and we really valued her help, that where her customers, her friends closest to her. And it's also right. An example of the shark and the dolphin. I thought it was such a perfect example.
So beautiful. I love it, Dawn. And so that's marketing, that the person might be right in front of you and talking to them. And this is the link as well. Again, I used to hear marketing and sales. I thought they were the same thing. I don't know if you had that too, right? Just that stuff over there that other people do, you know? When I started to understand, no, all of this is about story. I got it better. And marketing is actually meeting those people so they can have a conversation with them. And sales is making an offer that they may, you know, see if there's a fit and making an offer. And so that's the link between marketing and sales. So in a sense, you could say she was doing the marketing already. She's already out there talking to people, and it comes naturally to us as dolphins. And then we need structures of support, because otherwise we end up with a hobby or we end up burning out like your friend could have done. If she hadn't put some structures and some sales systems in place to say, hey, it looks like this is helping you. This is what I do. Do you want to play together? This is what it costs, you know, just having that upfront conversation so that the work can continue. We can't, if it's a hobby, we're going to burn out. Or we have to be independently wealthy or funded from somewhere else or whatever it is, the center of our life somewhere else. If we want to help people with what it is we do, we want both the marketing piece, which we're doing today, and then link it up with the sales piece again. So that's why I'm so excited about you going out and talking to people next week, and then go take a break. And then talk to people, reach out to as many people as you can and think about what Jay Abraham said. Wouldn't you want to? Why wouldn't you want to? There's people that you can help. Then we put systems and structures in place that we don't like. We have to have leverage. It's like, well, I independently, one-on-one, I'm going to help 3,962,000 people. I will burn out. So we also have to have the systems and structures in place so that we have a means to help people. But first, we have to have them in front of us. First, we want to market to them. And then we want to be able to have an offer, something that we can help them with, that they can say yes to, so we can do our work, right? Okay, so marketing, sales, and beautiful example of so much of what we've been talking about. Thank you, Dawn. All right, anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? Okay, perfect. So part two, this is our part two in segment two, is about, you know, what's my client's story, and about, you know, our ideal client, and about opportunity everywhere. And really, it's an answer to what Heidi was saying. So I said I'd come back to it. We do a deep dive. I'm not going to do too much yet. So we do a deep dive on this. And Heidi said earlier on, the earlier version of Heidi, I don't even know if Heidi now would say that, but do you remember 100 years ago, an hour ago or whatever, less than an hour ago, when Heidi said, it feels like searching for a needle in a haystack. And how am I supposed to find these people, and something bad might happen? We don't even want to go there because we don't even think like that anymore, right? And if we do, we have the antidote to it, which is all of block number one. If that thought comes up, we have something to go, a place to go with it. And the facts about marketing, the more empowering stories about marketing, that is what marketing is to us, right? So opportunity. Sometimes it feels like a needle in a haystack. It's like, well, I know they're out there, but there's those rich people in a pod somewhere else. I don't know how to find them. But I knew how to find them. And then we think that's what marketing is. And it's not me. It's what those other people do. And disempowered again, right? And one of our clients, she's one of our alumni from this community. She had exactly that story. She's Heidi, when you were speaking, it just sounded so much like her. And I remember we were working in private session one day, and she's a fitness trainer, and she lives in Calgary in my city, and my city is about 1 million people or so. And I said to her, you know, how many people do you think you could help and serve? You know, how many people are around us here in the city that you could help? She's like, I don't know. And really honestly, like, she's like, maybe one or two. I don't know. Maybe there's 10. Like, I said, you know, so like, this is a city of 1 million people. How many people do you think could be stronger in their bodies? How many people do you think would like to feel fitter, have more energy, you know, even the basics of it, not to mention her unique genius? Because she felt like it's a needle in a haystack and there's nobody around, and how am I going to find them? And disempowered, disempowered, disempowered. And again, Heidi, your story is akin to that, isn't it? Right? And thank you again for sharing it, because when we're real, then we can start to move things, right? So after we started doing even a little bit of this work, she's like, probably, and then the number started escalating, 1,000, no, 10,000, no, 100,000. Actually, you know, all the people in the city need my help. I'm not going to go call to all of them. What they all freaking do, like every one of them could have a stronger body, everyone. And can you feel the difference in her? You know, and that I'm encapsulating what was at least an hour long conversation, but you get it. By the time we got there, she's like, wait a second, you know, what was I thinking? And then she couldn't even go back to that. And you know, we laughed about it often afterwards. She's like, there's countless people. Sometimes I don't think that we think there's nobody. It's that we actually get frightened by our own power. By what it is that we have to give. Yeah, Heidi, go ahead.
So the piece that I feel is, for me, disempowering. It's not so much would they benefit, because I know they would. The disempowering story is in charging money for it. Mm. If I were truly Mother Teresa, I would just give it without charging, so that, because then, see, it really is worthy. But like, as soon as there's a charging of money, my story kicks in. Oh, she needs it. What if she can't?
What if she, so Heidi, are you okay if I exaggerate a little here so we can play with this? This is so important. It's later in my notes to talk about this, but we're just going to talk about it right here, right now. It's perfect timing, right? This is about marketing and sales and how they come together and why sales actually comes first. We're starting with the marketing, but energetically, let me put it that way for now. And with our stories, sales needs to come first. And also what people often do is they build up marketing systems. We start with our website. We start with our logo. We start with, you know, even a book. We start with, you know, then we make business cards and all marketing. But we don't have the offer behind it. and we have discomfort in and around sales. And so we could have 5 million people in front of us and we won't help any of them because we have a block in and around sales. So then we waste all this. That's one of the reasons we're worried about wasting all that marketing money, for instance, and we think it has to be expensive and so on, because we have a story about sales. So I want you all to know you all have access to the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. That's why I said it's a really great companion piece. You could listen to it tomorrow. Listen to the version of it we did a year ago, and we'll do it again live on February 17th, I think it is. But this would be a great thing to do. You got some time, and it could be in your own time, and take a day. You know, maybe you're going to be seeing people, and it's a little bit funny to see people after not seeing people last year with COVID, right? For the holidays, and you want some time to yourself, you can take some time to yourself and listen to the High Ticket Virtual Retreat. It will give you a day-long answer to that question that I can't answer replicate in a whole day here. But here's the piece that I want to say. And again, got your permission to exaggerate. This is a sales piece, making an offer and charging people. And you can see how the marketing and sales have to go hand in hand, and the sales has to come first. I'm teaching you the marketing right now, but we think through sales. And when we start with a sales mindset to start with and sales stories to start with, all the marketing is going to get easier, right? And I'll give you the pieces that you need to go out there and talk to people. You don't have to wait for that piece. You don't have to do the whole High Ticket Virtual Retreat to go out there and talk to people, right? So, and start gathering those people, and then High Ticket Virtual Retreat will come in to help you with how do I make that offer. And again, you can listen to it tomorrow. So here's the exaggeration. That person, these people really need my help. And these poor sots, these poor disempowered people, these poor people who have nothing and no energy inside them, these poor people who were hopeless and helpless, if they don't have my rescuing help, and there are really kind of, you know, lost completely on their own, they have no power or energy inside them, they would not certainly be able to have any resources at all, money or otherwise. So I better, good me, virtuous me, give them all of my energy and think of myself as big while I'm thinking of them as small, because otherwise no one will rescue them and their life is going to be in the tubes like it is already. That's the story that we're really telling when we're unwilling to charge what it's worth. So I will create a hobby like the lawyer friend, like Dawn's lawyer friend, who is helping and helping and helping and helping, helping people until she burns out and stops. And then we're not serving those people that we could have served because we burned out. And the world lost our energy because we thought so small, we thought of those people in such a small way that we didn't think they were able. And therefore they didn't think they were able to invest in themselves. We thought of them as small, therefore they thought of them as small, and we think we're gonna go rescue them by our life force energy and not be paid back for it. And so we're going to exhaust ourselves, but we're going to teach them to be balanced and whole. How's it working? Right? It's weird when we actually, and again, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not even very much, right? And so then I'm going to create a hobby, and with all the problems I just said, what if I could see that person in front of me, even if they don't, as whole? And as able and as having the capacity to, you know, I mean, think about this community. For all of you, you stood for yourself and invested in yourself through this work. Didn't it take something to do that? And what if I'd come up to you and said, well, listen, I know that you're really small and you're really unable. And I know that you can't, poor small you, do this yourself, right? Let me rescue you by making sure that I burn out in a year or two, and then all those other people won't be helped, but poor you needs this. So, I mean, how would that actually, what would that, I'm exaggerating again, but not by much, and the same for you. How would that actually feel? What kind of jumping off point is that for a journey? Mm-hmm. Money is just an energy form, and in Western culture, it's the way we exchange value. You provide something of deep, deep service. And then that energy comes back to you in the form of money, which you can invest in other people, which you can, you know, buy artwork, and an artist gets to grow their life. You get to invest in, I don't know, whatever you invest in, organic food, so that, you know, that I like that when I can do that, so that the people on the other side of the country who are, you know, gathering those bananas won't be sprayed as they are. I've seen it in Central America. So they're sprayed, you know, and they're living in that and they can't breathe. And, you know, so then I have money, which is an energy force that I can do good with in the world, and I'm helping them, and energy and value circulates. Somewhere there's a small self, either in what I see of myself or what I see in that other person, when I'm unwilling to put my stake in the ground and say, this is what the value is. And when we devalue it, they will too. This thing that you have that you can help people with, if you were devaluing it by saying, well, really, it's only worth free, which in our culture means it's not that valuable. I'm not saying that that's wrong. Like, I don't really agree with that in our culture, but that's how people think. A mom at home is not doing unvaluable things, right? But our culture exchanges value through money. So when we say it's free, we're saying, unless it's, you know, a donation because we're tithing, or unless it's in some kind of structure that does that, we're saying that this, unconsciously, we're saying that this isn't valuable. That's how they'll take it to you, and then they don't get the transformation. All right, so there's a little mindset piece, and I'm really glad to put that in here too. So thanks for that, Heidi, because that's why we've already answered. It came from a different block, but I moved it here because of your astute question. Sales, if you all get why sales comes first now. Because people, that's why we get so afraid, because people market, and they market because they're afraid to sell too. So they'll go and do Facebook ads, and they'll go and do their website, and they'll go and do social media, and they'll make sure they post their 3 videos a week or whatever. Never really unconsciously, never really intending to sell and to sell high ticket, because they don't feel worthy. And then it's like, look at this, marketing is just a money suck and business is hard. I think I better quit, right? Or sales first, standing for that offer, that real value that we offer, and being willing to stand for it, even if somebody doesn't like us, or somebody, you know, the offer doesn't work sometimes, or we have to tweak it or whatever. We stand for it and we keep doing it because we know it's our moral obligation to go and help those people that we're meant to serve. Not to mention, it's way more fun. Heidi, was that helpful?
That was amazing. And I really am seeing the issue is with my ability to receive.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
When I open my receiving, then I automatically open their ability to give me.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. And so how important it is, not anywhere in my notes, but so important for all of this, right? For heart-centered people, for the sharks, they don't need to think about that. But for the dolphins, for us dolphins, it's like opening up the channels of receiving. This happened to me a few years ago. And it's when one of our, I mean, it's happened multiple times, but when it came with such clarity, one of our clients, who was a potential client at the time, and who came to a strategy session, came to an event, and then invested in, and is one of, you know, became one of our alumni. And many people had just said yes right before him. And he came to the strategy session, and I'm like, I had a, the way it's coming up to me is like a come to Jesus moment, you know, with myself. Sorry, I hope you don't mind those words, but I'm just like, oh my goodness, right? I had this moment because so many people had said yes, that I unconsciously, and I could feel it because I'm good with story, right? I'd reached my having level. It's like, well, that's all you deserve. That's all you can have right now, Michelle. And I had to talk to myself very sternly, you know, about increasing my having level. Yes, obviously for me, but we all don't always do it for me, for ourselves. We'll do it for that other person. If I didn't increase my having level, I'd have accidentally unconsciously thrown that strategy session to make sure I didn't receive. And then he couldn't have got the transformation that he was so seeking. He came to do the work. And it turned out to be, he was, I don't think he'd mind that I say tell this story. Yvonne, you know who I'm talking about? You wouldn't mind that I tell the story? No, thank you. It turned out not long after that, he was diagnosed with a severe cancer. And some of his last time on this planet was nurtured by this community. And if I had not increased my having level, that wouldn't have happened. What's the cost of us not increasing our having level when we're put on this planet to serve? Thank you for that, Heidi. Right. And back again to it's both marketing and sales, right? In that. But where have I got that here? I just want to say it out loud again. I know you've heard it, but hear it again. Abraham, if you have a product, you'll hear it differently now. If you have a product that delivers value, you have a moral obligation to reach as many people as you can. And then we'll do whatever it takes. Because it changes lives, including kind of bucking up and increasing the having level and actually asking for what this work is worth, really seeing your own value, the value of what you do, and standing for it. Because if we don't, how can we ask that person to stand for their own value? Yeah. Thanks, Marnie. Yes, Diane.
I just had an aha here from what Heidi was saying too, because I know for me, I want to come to the rescue of others,
mm-hmm.
but it's a need in me, a belief in me. It has nothing to do with them, like mm-hmm. and yet the effect that it's having on them because of me and my energy and my belief, it just is something now that I'm aware of that I can start to change my mindset around.
Absolutely. Thank you, Diane. Beautiful. And when I come in and I think I'm going to rescue somebody who's a victim, really I'm creating them as a victim, aren't I? And that then there even can be something of accidental, like this is not an egoic group, but we all have that inside of us. It's like big me has to rescue poor them because they don't have the resources, because there's something inside me actually that's feeling unworthy usually. When I stand for my own worthiness, I stand for what it is that I have to offer. And I stand for their value and worthiness as well. It's a whole different conversation. So this is like the energetics behind both marketing and sales. Well done, you guys. Awesome, awesome. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be shared? It's great stuff, you guys. Okay. All right. So we came into this block with Heidi's question like a needle in a haystack. And I think it's actually the opposite. There's so many people that we can help and serve. And marketing it is getting it out there so that they can find us, so that they are magnetized to this work, so that we can see even more closely in a sales conversation if they're a fit, and then start the work, if and how we can serve them. All right. And so you heard about our fitness trainer in Calgary. It's like, oh, there's so many more. And well, then how do we actually find them? And which story do we need to pay attention to for marketing? First is the inner story inside us. You heard that in block one very clearly, and more of it in this second block. It's so important. It was bubbling up inside us. It's so important. Aligning that inner story about what it is we're even doing so that we make deep friends with marketing, because it is an essential and crucial component. And it's fun for heart-centered dolphins. It's actually fun and easy, right? It's natural to us. So, because it's about, hey, can I help you? So, and then how do we find those people then? How does it start to change so that we don't think of it as a needle in a haystack? Well, we've already started doing that work, but I want to give you another piece of it. You've heard me tell the story probably in another context, but here. I had that same needle in a haystack feeling about when I was looking for a personal assistant, because I just wanted somebody pre-COVID to take out the garbage, help with meals, help with groceries, do all the mothering things so that I could focus on helping people. And I had tried out a couple people and did all the hiring and all that kind of stuff and had all the structures and systems, ended up with the wrong people. And then I was a little bit scared. This is many years ago now. And then one day, one of my mentors said, well, who's the person that you want, Michelle? And I kind of sort of knew who she was, but I did a really, really deep dive. And I started understanding, what is it to know this person, whoever it is, that is, whether it's a joint venture partner, our client, our team member, know this person like J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. I saw her I knew her background because there were people kind of like her that had been in and around, that had done some work for my sister. And so I'm like, I knew what her background was. I knew what she liked. I knew what her, I just felt who she was in detail. I envisioned her in the same way we talked about Quantum Leaps, doing our vision, our 3-year vision, and using all the elements of story from Story Mastery to be able to see that in full color, like imagery, for instance. We've talked about that last week, right? So I just felt, I wrote about her, I dreamed about her, I knew her. And then most of you have heard the story before. It was literally a walk in the park. I walked in the park outside my place, and there was a little notice that I wouldn't even have seen if I hadn't been attuned. Was this little notice? I walked over to it and it was like, do you want whatever it was that she said? And from the little bit that she said, and it was just one of those, pull the phone number here and call, I knew that was her. I called her, had a 20-minute conversation, and she worked for me for years. And when she got another job closer to her, the field that she wanted eventually, she's from the Philippines, moved to Canada, and you know, was training in her area. And this job helped her as a stepping stone toward that, right? But when she stopped working for me, her friend came, and then her friend's friend came. It's like years from a walk, literally a walk in the park. And what happened was, we see opportunity everywhere. When, like, my fitness client, you know, our one of our alumni, is like, oh wait, I know that a lot more people could use what it is that I have, standing that big self, knowing that these people really could use the help, for one. And then really envisioning them. Who is that person? And it's a piece of what Heidi has done. It's like, oh, I thought I was helping moms with autistic kids. But you know, my nephew who's autistic is pretty high functioning. And I might learn a lot hearing, you know, and as for my sister or for my nephew, you know, from what Heidi has to say, I'm sure I would. But I'm not her target market as his aunt. My sister is not even her, it's bigger than target market, ideal client, the person that you're longing to serve. Even though my sister could benefit from much of what Heidi has to say, she's talking to a very, very specific person. Just like when I envisioned my personal assistant. And when you talk to that one particular person, everything changes. Opportunity is everywhere. And sometimes we think, well, I've got to talk to everybody because I come out of scarcity and I think I've got to talk to the whole world, because only a few people are going to trickle by and it's like a needle in a haystack. But instead, when my language is very specific and calls to that person, then they can hear me. And sometimes I use the example of Dana and my dad. Let's say I'm going to say to my, you know, I was going to say to my dad, you know, do you want this cookie? And I, you know, if it happened to have organic ingredients, I certainly wouldn't mention them because my dad was an old school kind of farmer, you know, that organic stuff. I don't trust that. They probably put, you know, it's probably in a bunch of manure on top of it. That's my dad, right? If they're organic cookies, so they would try to hide that from him, but I wouldn't emphasize that feature probably. But I might say that, you know, I got it from, because he loves story. You know, I got it from my friend Sharoni. I got it from the grocery store clerk. And he told me that his family has liked this brand of cookie, let's say, was for generations. And he grew up on the farm just outside Medicine Hat, where he grew up, Dad. Like, that would matter to him. Okay, if it's good enough for that guy, I will try it out. Even if it's got that organic crap in it, you know. I talked to my friend Sharoni, who owns a yoga studio. And she's so heart-centered. She's such a dolphin. And she would be saying, you know, I don't know, is this something, is it's really good or quality, it's good organic, it's great food. And I wonder if the people at our studio might like this. Do you think that they might have a deal where we could bring in some of the cookies and give people samples? And maybe it's a way that we can serve our people. She's not even thinking about the cookie for herself, right? And if I talk to Dana, let me see. Well, one of the things I might like, does it have chocolate in it? You know, right? We talk to somebody very specific. I can't talk to all those people at once. And it's an upper level skill. It's a higher level skill to talk to a group of people that have the same kind of characteristics or in my ideal client zone at once. So I'm not going to talk to this radically different person. And it's even somebody, a mom with an autistic child, a mom with a severely autistic child. They have different needs. They have different things they're concerned about. Different problems have come up. They're up at night thinking about different and worrying about different things. So the more specifically I speak to that person, and the more I decide who that person is, I get to decide. sometimes they don't want to choose out of scarcity. It's like, let me talk to everybody because it's too scary. Probably nobody will come. I'll talk to everybody and somebody will come over here somehow. It's like a hope and a prayer, right? You know, like just a wing and a prayer or whatever, right? It's just, I choose. That's why this follows quantum leaps. What's your vision? Who do you actually want to work with? You get to choose. If you don't choose, it's a lot harder. You choose. Who is it that I want to work with? I saw this case. It was a team member, my personal assistant. She is amazing and so heart-centered and brought other heart-centered, amazing souls into my life because I saw her. I chose. I knew who she was. And then it's not only that I had the words to say it, it's that she walked right into my world. Exactly. I says, I choose. I stand in my power and I choose what I want. Exactly. And you get how this connects with what's your why, right? Well, why do I want that person? Reference what we did a couple of weeks ago. I need to know why I want this person. Well, I choose this person randomly. It has no energy to it. Let's say I'm a cookie seller and I'm going to sell it to somebody like my dad, somebody like my daughter, or somebody like Sharoni. Just on a moment's thought, probably I love them all. I would want them all to eat cookies if I liked these cookies. But my ideal client, if I were a cookie seller, would probably be my friend Sharoni. But she's going to go out and share these amazing cookies that are both healthy and nutritious and yummy and with her community. And it's going to serve a lot of people. Like, I can't help myself. That's probably who my ideal client would be. Although I love Dina and I love my dad, right? And I get to choose. And then once I choose, I'll know what to say. And also they're just going to be magnetically attracted to us because it's like attracts like, and we're thinking about it and they come. All right. Jot down your biggest aha. Just take a moment, jot down one or two or three ahas. Okay, let's hear, thank you for that. Finish up that last sentence. Let's hear one or two of these ahas. I want to hear what you're hearing, what's opening for you now, for your real life, your real company, your real world. What did you hear for you? Kat, Diane, thank you.
What really stood out for me is I decide who I want to work with.
Yes.
That's my decision. That's, and I can search my heart, find out.
Yes.
That person.
Exactly. And as I say, if we're not sure how to do that, go back to the big why call, right? Or our half day retreat on big why. It's like, I decide and I get to stand for it. It's like, well, why do I want to work with that person? I build that why. It's not random. It's like, because it resonates, because it's inside, it's in my heart. And I actually build the strongest company when I'm doing that. And I get to build the best life for myself because I'm really working with people that are just a joy to work with. It'd be really fun to work with my daughter and Cookies. She's wonderful too. I love her so much. But my mission on the planet would align with what Sharoni is doing. Dana probably just wants to eat the cookie. Maybe she'll share it with her friend Eleanor. That's good too, right? But Sharoni's mission would align with mine. And I just want to, if I were a cookie maker, that's who I would choose. Who do you choose for the work that you're doing? Beautiful. Thank you, Diane. Yes. What else? Let's hear one more. Yeah, Yvonne.
There was a bunch of things that stood out for me, but the one that I think is most pulling me in right now is the increasing my having level.
It's a big one.
Yeah, because I've got big dreams and big aspirations. So it's opening up that receiving channel for me to be in alignment with my deep desires and my big dreams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And one great resource on this, Avon, I know you know about this one, but others may or may not. And actually, I haven't looked at it now in a long, long time, but Gay Hendricks, The Big Leap. Great, great book. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, we have this set point for our happiness and success. So something rises over here and then we tank something else. You know, we make a bit of money, we go have an argument with our spouse, you know, our relationship with our child is going better than ever. And we make sure to blow a strategy session so that we won't get money or whatever it is, or you know, health, wealth, relationships, whatever it is, because we think we only deserve this much. And increasing our having level is huge. If we really are serving at a high level on the planet, it's important for us to receive. I think about, say, somebody like Jack Canfield, who served so many people on this planet. Chicken Soup for the Soul, Success Principles, and the Secret, and, you know, multiple Guinness Book Award winner of how many books he's got out there. I mean, he's serving a lot of people. He's doing his best, as far as I can tell. I met the guy, he's an amazing guy, right? I spent a week beside him at a retreat. It was amazing, right? He's like, Michelle, how's your retreat going? It's super cool, right? And think about what his having level is, even in terms of team that supports him. Now think of somebody who's living on the street, both amazing and valuable people. I'm not trying to value one life over another, but think of how much the person in the street, how much their having level is right now, how much support they have around them, right? Small having level for, and due to circumstances or whatever, right? Small support, small ability to impact the world because they're just trying to survive. Jack Canfield, huge having level out of necessity, even just the team behind him in order to run what he's doing. And huge impact on the world. It's related to our impact. It's related to the joy in our lives. It's related to all kinds of things, right? And another great resource for increasing having level, The Science of Getting Rich. I told you about guys about that last time. Yeah, beautiful book. All right. Anything else bubbling up wanting to be said? This is, you guys, you're playing here. So I love it. My notes say this, and we're playing over here. We'll get to all these pieces too, but as you play up here, then the response and where we go to depends on where you're playing, and you guys are all playing way up here. Thank you for that. So anything else bubbling up? Yeah, Heidi, go ahead.
On a fun thought that popped in, I thought I would share. When you go into a place where you think, oh, there's so much that I would like, like in this country, there's a store, TJ Maxx. I don't know if it's in Canada, but they have all kinds of fun stuff and you never know what you're going to find. And I've learned, go shopping with the big shopping cart, not the little one. Mm-hmm. Have the big container because you don't want to limit what you might find. And you might not end up with anything, but you've chosen not to. But like this, my capacity is that much greater, and I don't have to think, oh, will it fit in my little cart here? I can, oh, anything I find would fit. And if I choose for it, I have the ability to get it. And so I can relax and be happy in the receiving as I go through this. So I thought I would share that image with you.
I love that. Thank you so much for that, Heidi. So beautiful. And you can see how all the work that we do all year long fits synergistically together. Because is it in February, I believe, we come up to the Abundance half-day virtual retreat. And we have ceilings on what we think that we can have, even if we think we know the word, we understand it, we've had an abundance practice, whatever, but we have these ceilings. Like me, when I went, oh my goodness, if I don't increase my having level, I can't help this person. And then I told you the end of that story, right? So it's in deeper levels than we thought. So all of this works synergistically together. Here's little pieces of the Abundance series. Right. And or the Abundance half day retreat that we that also dovetail with our ability to market even and our ability to create sales and so on. And therefore our ability to serve. Really great. OK. Jot down your biggest aha one more time. Okay, thank you. Great, great work. So again, from our first block, that our inner story about marketing is huge. Otherwise, we don't get anywhere. And transforming that so that we know it's our birthright, so we know it's who we are naturally, and that we can let it be easy and fun, right? And that we know it's close into us. And so marketing as a story, first, we want to start with that inner world story. The other story that we really want to know is our client's story. And that has to do with our big why. That has to do with, you know, what Diane said, getting back to what Diane said too, like, I get to decide who that person is, right? It has to do with what we want, doesn't it? Like me serving in my cookie business, my friend Sharoni, and choosing that. It's not because choosing my dad or choosing Dana would have been wrong. It's just what I want. And I've got a why for it that lights me up. So I choose, I decide who that person is, and then I want to know their story. Then that's the story that matters for our marketing. That's what we want to know. We want to know who our ideal client is, the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. And in order to, so does that make sense? Like, this is the person and I'm choosing, and it aligns with my why, it aligns with my mission. It has to do with my quantum leap, right? Creating the my future vision, the story that I want to live. Here's that person. I land on that. I claim that person. That's also increasing my having level. Well, there's these, you know, this awful person. I don't like working with them and they're mean, or they're, you know, they're a shark or whatever it is. Well, I don't want to work with them, but I think I have to. No, be in our big self. Know that we can work with who we choose to work with. And when I choose them, like my, let's say it's my friend Sharoni in my fictional cookie business, I'm going to think about, well, what is it in my area that keeps her up at night? What is it? I like to call it pillow talk, or, you know, over a glass of wine talk, or, you know, like, let's say she's meeting with one of her close friends. And what is it that she's worried about? What's keeping her up at night? Or she's, you know, if she, she's single, but if she had a spouse, you know, she rolls over to her spouse and goes, oh my goodness, or oh my God, like, I don't know what I'm going to do about X. Let's say I were somebody who helped people remortgage their house, and she's waking up in the night going like, oh my God, I think we're going to lose the house. Isn't that how somebody would talk? Shifting the example. You're not going to think like the 10 best ways to ensure that, is that how they talk? No. Your mortgage is affirmed by the greatest, you know, bank. I'm trying to string together banking words. I don't even know. Right? They go, oh my God, I'm going to lose the house. Right. Or about cookies, like, is she up thinking at night about cookies? Maybe she's not starting there, but maybe she's thinking about something else that my cookie business could intervene in and serve her, right? In an authentic and real way. Maybe, so I think about her and I want to know her the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. What's keeping her up at night? And maybe, for example, I don't know if this is true for Sharoni, maybe it is, you know, given in, she runs a yoga studio. So given this online world, maybe her community is not as strong as it used to be when yoga was live. And maybe there are still some opportunities for yoga to be live, but it's a smaller group, that I do know, smaller group there. So I'm thinking about her and the real conditions of her life. And so community is not as easy to establish, because so much of it is virtual. But people gather around food, don't they? And they have something to talk about around food, and they love to share recipes, and they love to, like, what are her clients like that too? So I'm thinking about all the aspects of her life and how is it that I can intervene. And so then maybe what I'm gonna offer is, which would be very different than if I'm talking to my dad. I'm not thinking about any of the same things, that person. So I'm thinking, well, she wants to create community. And what if there could be, and I'm shifting the metaphor a little bit, maybe it's packages of cookies, but maybe they're, oh, if it's your own, they're probably handmade by a local chef artisan who uses organic ingredients, and right? And maybe we could invite the chef in to have a bake-a-thon to show how to bake these cookies. And then it's for busy moms who do yoga classes, but don't have time to bake the cookies on their own. And they can both have, you know, baking, and it's going to raise funds for the local shelter or whatever, you know, so they have bake-a-thons, and then they can also, you know, buy the cookies at a bulk rate because they want to take care of their families. And meanwhile, it builds community for Sharoni. I don't know. This wasn't anywhere in my notes. I'm just spinning this off the top of my head. The point is, what's keeping her awake at night? What's her real problem? And am I in a position to solve it? Maybe in this case, cookies doesn't solve it. Maybe it does. I'm not really selling cookies. I'm selling community. Isn't that what Starbucks does? I'm not just selling coffee. It's the experience, like in Italy, of going to a little coffee that didn't exist before in North America, for instance, right? So they're selling that, they're offering that experience. So it's, what's the experience that I'm offering? So I think about her, what's keeping her up at night? What's what would she say over a glass of wine about what's really bothering her to a friend? And then we look for, when we go to the sales, we look for a fit. If and how I can serve that person. In the marketing, I might be talking about cookies, but I might be talking about, you know, I'm going to talk to a yoga studio owner. So it's somebody like Sharoni, and maybe it's the yoga studio owner part of her, right? I'm going to start with Sharoni, a real live person, right? Market to her. Hey, Sharoni, I got this idea about cookies. Want to chat? You know, real life conversations. That's marketing. Opening up a possibility. And then with my fictional cookie business, my words might be, and again, Sharoni's yoga studio is flourishing, but let's say it weren't, right? Worried your studio is going to close because people aren't connecting at the studio anymore. It's a little bit like the mortgage one, right? Wanting to find a way to get people to connect again. I'm thinking about her. If this makes sense, you raise your hand. You got that? Yeah. Who's my ideal client? What's their pillow talk? What are they, what's keeping them up at night? Actually listen to them. Then the words I use are her words. They're not my words. And it's, remember that mirroring that I was talking about in the first block? And listening to her, where Dana said, oh, I hurt myself. I don't go, do you have pain in your upper right, the upper right portion of your quadricep muscle? You know, I'm going to say to my kid, oh, is it hurting? Can I kiss it better, right? So same with Sharoni. I'm not going to say, I'm certainly not going to talk. Most companies end up talking about the features. Let me tell you about these organic cookies. They are made of 20% X and 60%, you know, they only have this percentage sugar and like what the features are. How much does Sharoni care? Not really at all, right? And then we go to benefits. These cookies are healthy. They are good for your body. Features are benefits are better than features. Are you with me? Nod your head if you're with me. So the benefits are better. These are healthy cookies. They're good for your body. They'll make you feel good. But that's not even good enough. It's not about features. It's not about benefits. It's about the transformation and the story that describes it, right? Want to have a thriving community of yogis who can't wait to sit in the lounge after class? Wouldn't you love it if they love being there so much they told all their friends about it? What if a simple cookie could bring them there? I don't know if that works as a company or not, but do you get that I'm speaking on a whole different level if I wanted to build that company than if I'm saying, you know, X percent sugar feature or even good for your body benefit? Transformation. What's the real pain that this person has? I think about them. I listen to them. What's the transformation that they're longing for? And that becomes our marketing. That's our marketing. Beyond features and benefits, what's the transformation? As simple as a cookie, right? And then here's the thing. Do you know you already know how to do this from pieces we've been doing? I want to show you how this hooks up with what we've been doing before. Having your big why is like knowing their big why. Having your big vision is like knowing their big vision. Remember I said that before in the context of that workshop? If you don't know it for you, how could you know it for them? The same work that you were doing, you could go back and listen to both of those workshops. That would be great work done over the holidays. Listen to the whole thing, thinking about how can I apply this to my ideal client? And you will hear different things in that call. What's their big why? Do you see, as I'm thinking about the language I'm going to use to magnetically attract Sharoni and others like her in my fictional cookie business, I'm thinking about what's her why. She wants to create a vibrant yoga studio where people interact and where they find a community. She wants people through that to, you know, improve their lives, breathe better. Think of what we learned in Shavasana. She wants all that for people, right? She wants many, many things, right? But I want to think about her why as deeply as I thought about mine. I want to think about her vision as deeply as I think about mine. And again, I'm going to oppose Sharoni alongside, like put her alongside my dad, for instance, right? Sharoni wants very different things than my dad wanted. My dad wanted to build his tree farm. My dad wanted to play out at the farm. He wanted to play with his grandchildren. He wanted different things in different parts of his life. He wanted comfortable sweatpants. They might look a little bit alike. Sharoni might want, you know, a clothing line for her in her yoga studio that's comfortable for people so they can move in yoga. But can you see that if I just go, boop, I'm looking for people who want comfortable pants. I'm going to get it wrong. Those are features, right? Who is that person really? Why do they want those pants? Or why do they want that thing? And what's their vision? And how can I help them get there? And then all of my marketing language, wherever and where we do that, we're going to get to in part three. Now, where do we go and find these people and where do we use this language, right? But here it's first like, you know, how do we find opportunities everywhere? How do we make it easy? By knowing who our ideal client is. Then we're going to go find out where they're hanging out and go hang out there. That's really the essence of part three. But right now, when I know what my client's story is, and I really, really know them, there's going to be opportunities everywhere to meet them. The languaging for my marketing gets easy. And I just have a regular human conversation with that person, a pointed conversation in a particular way. But that lets them know that thing that they're longing for, we could work together and they can get support in that thing that their heart is aching for. All right. Any questions or comments about this? This is huge. First, our own inner story about marketing. Next, our ideal client's story and how that dovetails with what it is that we want for ourselves. Right? Like Diane said, I decide. Well, Heidi was talking about that too, right? Yeah. Any questions or comments? What's bubbling up inside you now? I just want to empty out the room a little bit so we're ready for the next piece. So much I want to share. Just 1 second. Okay. And Heidi, was that a question or a comment? Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
We know what our ideal client wants. And yet there are barriers to her choosing to have it that could be barriers in the sales and marketing.
I'm so glad you're asking this. Even before you go any further, we're going to do one little piece. I want you to work in a breakout room. So we'll have a room of two, room of three, just so we can practice this a little bit. And then we're going to get exactly to how we think about it to make that be easy, all right? And if we haven't got there, ask me that question at the opening of the next block, okay, Heidi? Yes. Yeah, you can come back to that for me because what we're doing next, we'll figure this out. All right, so beyond features and benefits is transformation. And thinking about my friend Sharoni, for instance, I think all about her. The more I know about her, and then I'm gonna go look for people like her. But if I can think of one real person, if I tried to think of yoga studio owners, can you see that I don't know how to think about it? That's just a target market. That's just a demographic. That's just like what they do for a living or whatever. And it's so generic. I don't know even what I think. It's not my ideal client. It's not J.K. Rowling knowing that person like J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. But when I think about that one real person, I know about Sharoni. I know about things that keep her up at night. I know what she talks about. I know some things that she doesn't talk to people about. I know her well. I want to know the person that well. So I think of a real person. And then I can go and find people like them. If I just think about a generic group of people, I'm helping women. Can you see that? Well, I don't know who that is, right? Women are all very different. Or I'm helping, you know, people who are over 50 or under 20 or whatever. They're all so different. Choose one person and let it grow from there. It's another way of starting close in. So what I want to do is let you be in a Zoom room for, let's make it 5 minutes. We'll have one group of three, one group of four. The group of three will go a little faster. So just divide up your time so that everybody gets at least a minute. And we'll make it 5 minutes. So you've got the group of three has enough time. The group of two will have a little more time. And all I want you to share is, I don't want you to think about this too much, all right? Your transformation is just a sentence, so you can start talking to people. So I want you to think about, what's the transformation you offer? Don't get it fancy. And who is it you're looking for? In my cookie business, it's like, I provide amazing cookies that help people create community. Do you get it? I just made this up on the spot. And if I can do that about my fictional cookie business that wasn't anywhere in my notes, you can do this for your heart's work, all right? So, and I'm looking for yoga studio owners who want to create deeper community through fun food experiences. It's not perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. But can you see that I could go out tomorrow and start talking to people about this? Who are you looking for? And in my own company, it's like I help entrepreneurs tell better stories so they can grow their companies. There's the transformation, right? You want to tell better stories, they want to grow their companies, and it's entrepreneurs. I know that's very general. I've just picked a broad category there in a one sentence version. Say a little bit more about who that person is than I did in that one sentence. I look for heart-centered entrepreneurs. It could be, you know, in the language of today's work, I look for heart-centered entrepreneurs, women. A few smart men, but we work best with women, and the few smart men who come along, they're amazing too, but we're calling to women, right? And I don't mind putting my stake in the ground for that. Amazing women, amazing men have come too, but I know that this work appeals more to women. So work with women who are heart-centered entrepreneurs, who have something deep that they want to share with people and want to get it out there in the world, and then they know they could get out there in the bigger way. Help them tell better stories so they can grow their company and really get that thing that they want to get out there in the world into the world. So they can live a little better life and their clients are too. Those are some of the words that I could use about my company. So I say I didn't have that rehearsed. It's not perfect. Who it is, what the transformation is. I could say that in a minute, right? You could say that in a minute. All right, so I want you to get to practice. Who that is, what the transformation is. A group of three, group of two. Let me just put you into breakout rooms. To break our rooms. Okay. And hang on a second here. Okay, you've got 5 minutes. The one with the shortest hair goes first. The one with the longest hair keeps time. Divide it up appropriately. You've got 5 minutes. Have fun. We'll see you soon. And welcome back. Welcome back. So let's hear one or two ahas. What's opening you now from this short exercise? Who would like to share first? Yeah, Mary Kay, thank you.
I really see the value of making things simple and coming from the standpoint of, like, I'm thinking like an alien person that doesn't know anything.
Yes, I love that. If we can't make it simple and direct, then it's just kind of gobbledygook. Why should people listen? And we sometimes are so close to it that we get all caught up. And you've heard me tell that story about one of our clients about videos. I can't even use that language. I think you usually fall into photography language to sell f-stops or whatever. You know, what is it that people actually want, and how simple can we make it so that they actually can step into something that could make a huge difference for them? And stepping over to sales just for a minute. So what we're working on is marketing. What we're playing with is marketing. How do we go out and talk to those people and find those people that then, for the right people in that pool of people, we could make an offer to. hey, you know, it looks like you've got a lot of pain in this area. Do you want to talk about it? Maybe we, you know, see if there's a fit, see if I can help you. Then we move into sales, right? But the confused mind doesn't buy. If people don't buy, we can't help them. So it's all confusing. They pull back and do something else. Thank you, Mary Kay. Beautiful. Heidi.
Well, I was the cautionary example in the confused mind part, because I was struggling with naming the transformation and whose transformation is it? And Mary Kay, as the alien entering the autism world, was like, well, wait, who are we talking about? Is it mom's transformation? But I really want my kid's transformation. I was like, I know, this is the struggle. And can I claim transformation for the kid? I don't feel comfortable with that, even though he will feel mom calming down and he will calm down. But I feel like I can't promise that. But what can I promise her? But she really cares about the kid more than her, and it gets confusing. And Mary Kay was like, and it was like, I know this is hard. And I said, I'm in it. I don't see.
This is why I strongly encourage you to be on connection calls and help each other. Everything that we're doing, every piece of it, if it just sits here and we don't do anything with it, nothing happens. But a very great first place to be is be on a connection call with somebody, just this few minutes together. What a gift that is. And you can do this more. You can do this all the time if you choose. Get on connection calls with each other so that you can hear different things. Your audience will hear, a heart-centered audience, amazing, you know, dream enablers will hear something different and can help you. And I saw your hand, Dawn. Just give me 1 second. One more thing about this. Give me a sec. This is a deeper level of who is our ideal client. And this is true. So if you're working with both the kids and the moms in a way, Heidi, right? But we have to know who we're working with, because it's like, yes, right, exactly. And you have a similar thing, like when you're offering tutoring for kids who have poor grades and helping them with their grades. Who's the actual client? Is it the kid or is it the parent? Who is paying? That's whose eyes you have to see through. They are the decision maker. Or who's a decision maker? Sometimes it's like somebody else might be paying if it's a big corporation or something, right? But who decides to invest? That is your client. And what do they actually want? And it could be that your heart, for instance, Heidi, is in helping all the autistic kids in the world. Or maybe your heart is in helping the autistic moms or the moms with the autistic kids or both, but you need to know who exactly you're offering to and what exactly it is that they want. And let's say, to go back to the tutoring example, maybe it's somebody who wants all the kids on the planet to be empowered, but they can't sell to the kids. They're offering to the parents. And so the spin-off benefit will be the results for the kids, but they have to know, be able to see the world through the eyes of, through the point of view of the parents. What is it that those parents want? Because otherwise there's no company. And the kids will suffer because, right? So what you want needs to be able to be aligned with what they want. But we need to be able to go over to the other side of the table and see the world through their eyes. And that is, we're going to go to a break really soon, but this is the first part, because you said, well, that I know that this could help them, but there are barriers. This is the first part of like the foundational thing that we need to do in order to break through those barriers. Well, I'd like this, but I'd like this, but I'd like this, but I'd like this, but. That's a nice idea, but, and it stays as intellectual knowledge. What's their top of mind problem? What are they, you know, we're like back to Sharoni. What's she actually thinking about at night? And can we solve that? And sometimes we hear, you know, you sell them what they want and you give them, you sprinkle in what they need. So the mom in the tutoring example, maybe the mom just wants the kids to get better grades because she wants, you know, him to get into law school, and if and otherwise the world falls apart. And really, we want the kid to be okay. But if that's her top of mind problem, we either have to be able to authentically address that, or we have to serve somebody else, right? Want to get your kid into law school? You need to do these things, right? And then in the end, they might find they have to be have more cooperation with their kid, or all the kinds of things that we might be aimed at, right? Who is that person? What matters to them? Is that the person that I want to serve? And you know, can is that aligned? And what's their top of mind problem? And also, once we figure out their top of mind problem, there's deeper levels of it too. Like, what's the spin-off effects of making that change? So somebody might come to me and say, Michelle, I need a story for my upcoming talk. I hear you do stories. Can you help me? What I want for them is all of this, because I know all of this is really what's going to make the difference. But that's not up to me. They're coming with a top of mind problem. And I'll end up saying, you know, and this starts moving into sales a little bit. But again, marketing and sales, they're not the same thing, but they're very interrelated. I might say to them, yeah, I help people with story. Sure, I've helped people with that. I don't know if I can help you. Do you want to have a conversation and see if there's a fit between what I do and what you're looking for? And then we have that conversation. And then I start to ask why. And this dovetails with the why call, right? Or the why training. So you want to talk, you want a story in your talk. Well, tell me more. It starts working in the high ticket virtual retreat, right? Tell me more. Why do you want that? Well, I just want to, you know, I want my audience to be engaged. Well, why do you want that? Just like what we were doing over there. Well, because, you know, well, actually they're often quite engaged. They, in fact, I even get standing ovations. Okay. Well, it sounds like you're doing great. Keep doing that. Bye. No, wait. Well, I get standing ovations all the time, but you know, oh, do you sell stuff from stage? Yeah. Nobody buys. Oh, okay. So you're looking for a story that, and you want more people to buy. Well, tell me exactly how many, you know, and then we start to get into sales, right? Starting with their top of mind problem, but the thing that they think will solve it might not even be where the problem is. And so we meet people where they are, and then we solve problems. It's problem solution. We've talked a bit about that before, right? Meet them where they are, find out why they want that. And then we actually see if there's a fit. And if it's somebody who's like, nope, I only just want to script this story, and I don't care about any of the inner work, and I really push everybody away, and I am a hateful person in the world, and I'm really a shark, but please, will you help me craft the story? I'll go, there's this person across the street who does story work. I think you should go work with them. And they go, yay, thank you. You know, so what's their top of mind problem? And then what are the spin-off effects? And we'll start talking, we'll go more deeply into that after the break. I want to make sure we get a good break coming up right now. So after the break, we're going to continue some of the work in my notes from part two. And that's about a deeper dive into the problem that Heidi was pointing to. It's like, yeah, but, you know, yeah, but, the yeah, buts, right? Who exactly are they depends on where we pick them up along the journey. So we'll talk more about that and how we figure that out and the language we use. And also there's different level people, like the person that I met that I just described, you probably don't want to work with them, right? So people come in at different vibrations, at different levels of knowledge and backgrounds. And where do we want to pick that person up? So it's not just Harry Potter. Harry Potter is many different people. Right. So, and all of that will help us to have the people in front of us that we can serve and be in genuine conversations with them. Right. So we're going to pick up that after the break. We're going to have a time for Q&A. So over our lunch break, take some time, take, you know, 5 minutes even, and think about what are your questions. We'll open it up with the questions that you've got so far. I might do that chunk first, just because your questions might transform through that piece. I'm not sure yet. I'll be thinking about that at the break, but there'll be time for a deeper dive into the client. There'll be time for Q&A. And then also, well, what are the essential marketing pieces that you need in order to do this now? How do we actually do this? You know, what are the different ways that we market, and what are the essential core pieces that I need in order to make it easy? Make sense? All right. So that's where we're headed. anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go to break? We're going to go to break in just a few minutes. Anything bursting to be said? Yeah, Dawn, go ahead. I could feel it. I could feel the energy of it. That's why I asked. Dawn, go ahead.
Well, I was going to speak to Heidi. I didn't get a chance to say this in the breakout room. That just something that I was hearing is it's such an isolative experience to be a mom, or I'm thinking from my experience that it can be an isolative experience. And what I hear you offering is that support that you would be talking about things that they don't have any other space to talk about, and they wouldn't talk about with the person next to them because they don't understand. That's the very service, or they haven't experienced it, and that's the very service that you would be providing. It's what I've heard you say before. I just wanted to give that piece.
Thank you, Dawn. I love that. And it's like, we need to know what their pain is at a very deep level. What is the problem that they want to solve? What is the pain that they have so that they want that transformation to get into that new world? That's story. Mm-hmm. Think Luke Skywalker. He starts on this world, he ends up in this world, right? What is that pain? And finding that simple language. It might be something like I help moms with severely autistic kids help their kid find a better life. And the thing is, that might be, if that really is what they most want, sometimes it might be what they say they most want, but they really want a break, but they don't want to say it. I don't know. Right. But let's say they really want their kid to find a better life. Well, one of the things that helps their kid find a better life is when they're more relaxed and at ease and have a better life themselves. But they don't want that, but they want their kid to have a better life. So it is in authenticity. It is authentic to say, you're going to help your kid find a better life. But the way I do that is by a more relaxed and aligned mom, you know, so that's the how.
Right.
So, but what is it that they actually want? And sometimes they're not even saying it. And again, we're going to dive into that further. So because our the way we market comes directly out of that. So it's a lovely example. And Dawn, I love that you picked that up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else bursting to be said? Okay, let's close this second block with one aha, and one aha that takes like 15 seconds to say, so that we get a good break. All right, Wendy, I don't know if you're in a place where you can speak. You're in my upper left hand corner. One aha, if you can. Going once, going twice. Okay, Heidi, you're in my next corner slot. One aha from this last block. One thing that's opening for you.
What's yearned for drives the transformation.
Yes. What's my client yearning for? And again, you can see dovetailing with all kinds of work that we do elsewhere. So it all works together. Yvonne. And also, in case that brought scarcity into anybody, you don't need to have all the pieces all at once to do this. Any one piece you can pick up and run with it. Life-changing for you and your company. Yvonne.
One real person.
Yes, thank you. Dawn.
It's a deeper understanding, again, another level of my ideal client.
Yes. This work doesn't end. We continue this work. And then we go out on the court. We don't endlessly go on a piece of paper, we go out there and meet them. We'll talk more about that, right? But it's continual because it's also shifting and changing. So this work is ongoing because as we know more about the work that we do, we get more and more precise about who it is we want to work with. And as we grow and change, we might want to work with a different kind of person because it matches who we are now. Thank you, beautiful. Diane.
Knowing my big why is knowing their big why.
Yes. They are interrelated. And if I can't know mine, how am I going to know theirs? So, and when I know mine deeply, I have the tools and the capacity and the ability to know what theirs is as well. And they are deeply, deeply interrelated. Thank you. Mary Kay.
What was my top of the mind problem 30 years ago?
Right. Exactly. Because we are often our own best client, a previous version of ourselves. And when we can tap into who that person was, we have endless questions we can ask that person, endless knowing about who they are and what's keeping them up at night. Beautiful. Thank you. All right. We are going to take a lunch break. And let me just figure this out. If it's 12, almost 12:55 now at my house, let's break until 1:35. I want you to have a good break. And again, it's always a trade-off. So much I want to share with you. Take a great, great break. Take good care of yourself. Don't check your email. Don't serve that person who's asking you questions about something in your life. Take this time for yourself. Stay in this retreat energy and get some good food, get some good rest. If the questions bubble up that you wanted to ask, allow that to bubble up and take care of your body. You go for a walk, lie in Shavasana, eat some food, drink some tea, whatever it is for you. And I will see you back here at 1:35. Thank you, everybody. Great work.